But I want to share with you something that means so much to me this morning. And the very hymn we sang together and the lovely song we've had sung all make a unit in that which I want to bring to your attention. As I speak to you here, I know that each one of us knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ. We're 100% lovers of Christ here this morning. We're in the complete and utter majority. Thank God for that. And you're a saved soul, and thank God for that. But I want to ask you this question. What does your salvation mean to you? How much does your salvation mean in your own life? Can I put it this way? Not too long ago, I was in Germany, in Hamburg, speaking to a group of university students, fellows and girls. We were discussing Christ and the relevancy of Christ and God's salvation. These were men and women who were highly educated. They could speak fluent English, and there was no need of any translator. And then in the midst of our conversation, one young man, obviously overcome with his feelings and unable to restrain himself, swung over to me and he said, "Dr. Hunter, can Jesus Christ do anything for me today?" It was like an electric shock. And then a girl across the room said, "That's my problem. Can Jesus Christ do anything for me today?" And the first boy said, "I'm saved. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. But, sir, that isn't my problem. My problem is today. I live in a university. I have pressures and temptations. Sin abounds around me. I find myself bogged down with failure and fear and frustration. Can Jesus Christ do anything for me today?" My life is spent working now with high school and college age in all countries in the world. And I find, especially in my own country, my own beatnik England, with all the failures there, I find college men and high school people are interested in a faith which means something today. Thank God for forgiveness of sins. Those of us who are saved, we here, we know the glory of sins forgiven. And we know the infinite joy of a home in heaven. But the people amongst whom I work are materialistic in a spiritual sense. Can Jesus Christ do anything for me today? And I would dare to believe that there are many of you here this morning. And if you could analyze your needs and your desires of the Lord Jesus, that lovely last verse said, "Jesus, be thou our only joy." How much joy does your salvation bring you? How much blessing does your salvation bring you here? Oh, I know you're going to heaven when you die. I know your sins are forgiven. Thank God for all that. But does your belief have any bearing on your behavior? That's a problem that I meet constantly. And I want to share with you in the time I have the quality of faith whereby my salvation has an immediate bearing on my life now, today. In other words, I want to think about the today of my salvation. So many of us, if we give a testimony, it's, "Yes, so many years ago, the Lord saved me, and by His grace, someday I'm going to be with Him in heaven." Now, thank God for all that. But modern youth, and if you go out to work with young people, I specialize in young people's work. Modern youth wants to know the today of my salvation. And if your salvation has no today experience, you won't communicate. I'm looking in Romans chapter 5. I read, for example, something of the quality of the faith of these people in the early church. Reading in Romans 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace." Do you have peace? Oh, I know you're a Christian. Thank God you're going into the ministry or the missionary work. Thank God a million for that. But do you have peace? I often counsel with pastors in whose life there is no peace. They've got truth, but they haven't turned truth into reality. No peace. The verse goes on, we have peace. It goes on to say in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We stand. The Bible has a great deal to say about standing. Standing in the Lord. Stand strong in the Lord. I spend my time very often counseling with Christians who don't stand. There could be somebody here and your faith consists of a constantly picking yourself up off the floor. You're full of good intentions and full of love of the Lord, but you spend your time failing and starting all over again. You don't stand. Maybe you totter, or maybe you collapse. It goes on again in this same verse here, wherein we stand and we rejoice. We rejoice. It's amazing how many Christians whose faith brings them no joy whatever. No infinite joy that lights up on the darkest day and which just sparkles to all around. You're just lit up with the joy of Christ. Does your faith give you an intrinsic joy that delights other people? Or are you one of these Christians and you're never happy unless you're miserable? I find a whole bunch of folk like that. They're never happy unless they're miserable. And then when they've really got a load on their back, then they really go to town. And yet these folks, they rejoiced. Verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulation. That's a tremendous quality. We glory in tribulation. When things go wrong, they don't shout hallelujah. They just say, well, praise God. When things go wrong in your life, do you glory in tribulation or do you press all the buttons, ring all the bells, shout for help and run like the rest? That's what many Christians do even today. They've got a wonderful faith in what's past and what's going to come, but they've got no today in their salvation. They're just as licked as the rest. It goes on to say, they glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Say, do your troubles make you more patient? When things go wrong, have you that quality of faith, that interpretation of faith, that when things go wrong, you become more patient? That isn't the way of the world. When things go wrong and the temperature rises, the bristles come out, and you just stand by in case they explode. Do you have a quality of faith that when things go wrong, you lay hold of the peace of God? And somehow, the peace of God that passeth all understanding keeps your heart and mind? If you don't have that, you don't have a today in your salvation. Goes on to say, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Do you learn by your troubles and your failures? Do you learn by your tragedies? Or are you the kind of person who goes on making the same mistake time after time after time? See, all this is wrapped up in the today of my salvation. And these people had it. The glory of the early Christian churches we read in books like this, these people remember that more than half the Roman Empire were slaves. Many of these people had nothing, not even the rags they stood up in. They had nothing except peace and joy and blessing and hope. I know many Christians who are very wealthy, and they'd trade all their wealth if they only had peace and joy and blessing. Because as our doctors tell us today, physical health is so tied up with mental health And mental health is so dependent on spiritual health. And when I have peace with God, and my peace is a day-by-day, today experience, then I get a peace of mind. And when I've got peace in my mind, I've got health in my body. A lot of talk about divine healing is linked entirely with knowing peace in my soul. And maybe this is what you need. See, this is reality. This isn't just plain religion in a box. This is reality in a person. Look with me, if you have a Bible and you're following, in Romans chapter 5, and see what was the secret that these people possessed that enabled them to have this today in their salvation. I'm reading then in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I think one of the great things to realize in any enjoyment of my faith is to realize my true standing in the sight of God. To realize that there's nothing at all in me, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I haven't got a claim on God. I haven't got a corner with God. I am absolutely ungodly. There's nothing in me that deserves the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God. The fact that I'm in full-time ministry in no way qualifies me to be an especially blessed person. I am just a sinner, plain, ordinary sinner, saved by grace. Ungodly? And that's where I start from. That's square one. Maybe you need to get back to square one. It's possible sometimes to have a feeling of my own importance because I'm called for this, and you know, I'm not like the ordinary fellas. I'm a special kind of person. My brother, get back to square one and let God bless you. Get back to square one. We're just ungodly. Goes on to say in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the verse we love. That's the verse as evangelists we preach. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the basis of our evangelism. Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing from sin. The wondrous glory of the cross work of the Lord Jesus, how he died for us on the cross. And this is what we offer to men and women. And thank God, which we receive into our own hearts, how that Christ, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I take that as a unit of truth and put it in its true place? Could you see that as the past tense of my salvation? This is the finished work of Christ. One sacrifice for sins forever. The finished work of Christ, the past tense of my salvation, never to be repeated. The all-sufficient, all-glorious, all-complete death of Christ on the cross. Now, there are some poor folk in this world who profess and call themselves Christians, and that is all they know of their Christian faith. That is the only area in which they have assurance. They have assurance only in the fact that their sins are forgiven. If you talk about eternal security, they live in hope. They have no assurance. I want you to notice that there is much more in God's salvation than having my sins forgiven. Much more. In fact, verse 9 begins with those two words. Much more. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Here is another unit of truth in my salvation. The great unit we've seen of the past tense of God's salvation. My sins forgiven. Then, verse 9, much more than a past tense, a glorious future tense. Much more. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There's no great white throne for me. There's no great white throne for you. Not because you deserve it, not because you've earned it, not because you're worthy of it, but because of the all-sufficient wonder of our salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. Sins forgiven, past tense. A home in heaven, future tense. Now, as I travel around the world and meet with Christians, I find that there are many, many dear people, and I'm sure there'll be some of you here this morning, and I was such for many years, and that was all I knew of God's salvation. All I knew was those two units, my sins forgiven and my home in heaven. And when I was saved, they said to me, now, out you go, and you live for Jesus, and you do all you can, and you keep on going, and you work, and you work, and you work, and you do, and you do, and you do. And I set out to do that. And when I was a principal of a school in England, I did evangelistic work. I took 10 campaigns all through the summer, and I slogged away all that I could do. I was go, go, go all the time. What I was trying to do was to work out my salvation. I was trying to make the present, the today in which I lived, a glorious blessing because of what I was doing. In other words, the today of my salvation depended on me. I was the basis of the today of my salvation. The death of Christ was the basis of my past tense. The risen, the wondrous work of Christ was the basis of the future tense of my salvation, sins forgiven, a home in heaven. But today, the today of my salvation depended on me. And so I had ups. And I had downs, just like you do. You go, you have peak periods when you're filled with tremendous enthusiasm and you go for the Lord. And you go up into orbit. And then you have times when, brother, that somebody pulls the plug out and you go right down again. And there you are. And then you rev up the engines and you go up again. And then you go down again. Now that was the today of my salvation for years. I was the basis of the today of my salvation. And then one day, God opened my eyes to a glorious truth. That there's much more in God's salvation than having my sins forgiven and going to heaven when I die. In fact, verse 10 of Romans 5 transformed my life. Verse 10 of Romans 5. For if, when we were enemies, notice, ungodly sinners enemies, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Now, the word reconciled includes sins forgiven and a home in heaven. I am reconciled to God. God's never reconciled to me. I'm the guilty party. Reconciled to God is the past and the future tense of my salvation. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, the next two words are much more. And man, you could hardly hold me on the ground when I discovered there was much more in my salvation than having my sins forgiven and a home in heaven. It says so, much more. Being reconciled because I have this and because I have this, much more, because I'm reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That phrase, we shall be saved by his life. If I asked you how you were saved, you'd say I was saved by the death of Christ, and you'd be absolutely correct. I'm saved by the death of Christ. But here's a verse that teaches me, we shall be saved by the life of Christ. And I knew nothing about this. mainly, I suppose, because the King James Version is really not a very good and thorough translation. The Amplified New Testament says this, "Much more, being reconciled, we shall be daily delivered from sin's dominion by his resurrection life." Daily delivered. Why, man, that's the present tense of my salvation. Day by day, delivered from sin's dominion, from the ups and downs of failure. Delivered from sin's dominion by his risen life. His risen life. And from that day on, I moved into a salvation which was based not only on the death of Christ, but on the risen life of Christ. And I've been discovering, and my eyes are open day by day, that thank God for the past and future tense of my salvation, which are based on the cross work of Jesus Christ, Christ for me on the cross. But I've moved into a new world. I've moved into the today of my salvation. Because I found the today of my salvation isn't based on me. It isn't what I can do, or go. It isn't me. The today of my salvation is based on the life of Christ, the risen life of Christ. The Lord Jesus who rose again, and who by his Holy Spirit comes to indwell my heart and my life. The indwelling Spirit of Christ. The indwelling Christ. He, and he alone, is the basis for the today of my salvation. Now, do you know anything about that? And I would suggest that there are some of us who don't. We don't. Because we don't have the peace, we don't stand, we don't rejoice, we don't triumph. Simply because we're trying to do it on our own. I don't have to do it on my own now. When I face the problems that I cannot face and cannot deal with, I simply say, "Dear Lord, this is a problem, and Lord Jesus, I can't handle this situation. I can't." But thank you, dear Lord, I don't have to. I can't, but you can. And you indwell me by your risen Holy Spirit, and it's your job, it's your whole life to live for me. I don't have to live for Jesus. Jesus wants to live for me. And as I move into this, and as by his grace I learn more of it, I experience, praise God, and I could shout hallelujah 16 times, I experience the today of my salvation. The today. Let us bow in prayer. Our God, our Father, we thank thee for the utter and complete wonder of our salvation. We thank thee it's all in Christ Jesus. We thank thee for the death of Christ that dealt so effectively with all the question of sin and wrath to come. And our God, likewise, we thank thee for the risen life of Christ, which deals so perfectly with the today of our salvation. God grant, our Father, we pray, that those here to whom this is just seeing in a glass darkly, may by thy grace search and see. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Not only for the past and the future, but for the today. Thank you, dear Lord, you are the way today. You are the truth today. You are the life today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for a belief that is full of behavior because it's based on the indwelling Christ. Bless these thy people. May thy truth so fill their hearts. May they be so captivated by the wonder of the Lord Jesus that their very lives may radiate to his glory. And for thy dear name's sake, amen.